Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
He's back. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we chatter together, yakety-yak, coast-to-coast, border-to-border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from deep inside the magic radio box. That's right, the Fox Sports Radio Studios. Here we are together again, back at it, and slaving away over the hot microphones of FSR. And our lead this hour coming from the NFL, and it's opportunity knocking. You hear that? That's the knock on the door right there. That's opportunity. Tim Tebow's headed back to the NFL. We called this one. I don't know if you saw it or not. It's been percolating throughout the last few hours here. We have learned that the Jaguars, it's not official, not all the T's have been crossed and the I's dotted, but Jacksonville planning to sign Tim Tebow, America's darling, to a one-year contract. He will attempt to hitch his wagon on the comeback trail as a tight end hybrid, some kind of Fugazi tight end slash quarterback slash receiver slash whatever. Tebow has not played in a real NFL game since way back in 2012. I was barely alive in 2012, the last time Tim Tebow played in a real NFL game with the Jets. Suck, suck, suck. So let us discuss. This is the story everyone's yapping about. What do you make of Tim Tebow and his pending return to the NFL with his hometown team? He's from that part of Florida. He's going to play for the hometown team there, the Jags. Now, my views on this, you've got Pet Project, TDS, and Daily Double. And we will connect all of this together. We're going to play Connect 3. And we'll see how this goes. Now, first of all, Urban Meyer is not a good poker player. And we thank him for that because we knew all along what was going on here. He showed his cards. And Meyer had claimed publicly that he's the new sheriff in town and he would look into signing Tim Tebow if, I'll throw an if in there, if he thought he could help them win games. He even went as far as to claim that he intentionally did not watch Tebow work out because he didn't want to be too close to the situation because of the past relationship. It was all the smokescreen. When Jacksonville hired Urban Meyer, a door opened up for Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow knocked on that door. He's the one that supposedly pursued this, and it turns out to be a package deal for Jacksonville, not only to get Urban Meyer, who I'm betting on being good as an NFL head coach, not great, but good. And then you get, in addition to that, you get Tim Tebow. Considering Tebow is a washed-up former quarterback, failed baseball player. He was a mascot for the Mets. They already had a mascot, Mr. Met, but they added Tim Tebow, the Metropolitans did, as their spring training mascot. How embarrassing is that? So at this point, if you look at this with a grain of objectivity, Tim Tebow coming back as a tight end, this is a salvage and recovery mission for Urban Meyer, and it's his personal pet project. A labor of love for Urban Meyer. It is a business endeavor.
Urban Meyer!
Everybody now! Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
Yeah. So he's willing to take the plunge, do the belly whopper into the Tim Tebow swimming pool here, but by all metrics, like anything you were to look at here, 30, soon to be 34 by the time the NFL season comes around, birthday in August, Tebow, gonna be 34. Athletic prime ends at 32. So he's going to be 34, hasn't played since 2012 in an NFL game, sucked at baseball, but yet again, this is a teachable moment. It is a refresher course. It's not what you know, it's who you know. We are reminded of this from time to time, and that's the seedy underbelly of not just sports, but life in general. Now, coaches like Urban Meyer and organizations have this hire a friend mentality. And we see this with coaching vacancies quite a bit. It's not often the best candidate that gets hired. It's the person with the best network who is best known. And you could say the same thing about Tim Tebow as a football player. Is Tim Tebow the best candidate to be a tight end? Well, best means as good as all the rest. I would say he's not even as good as all the rest. Never played tight end at a level, I guess, beyond Pop Warner. So he's a candidate, but he knows the right people. And like Tebow and Meyer, they're cut out of the same cloth. I mean, these guys they have the same background in Florida, and Urban Meyer is Urban Meyer today because of Tim Tebow. All right, now secondly, the part of the story that I was laughing at, and I hope you're like me, you got some enjoyment out of this, the blowback that the Jags are facing. We're talking about, even if Tim Tebow were to make the team, he's like a second string, fringe tight end. He's not a mover and shaker, not projected to be a mover and shaker, but the blowback that the Jaguars are facing, deranged lunatics working themselves into a lather, right, foaming at the mouth here. And the reason why these people are foaming in the mouth is they are dealing with TDS. They are suffering from Tebow derangement syndrome. They have been triggered that Tim Tebow, oh my God, Tebow's getting another chance. It's not fair. It's not fair. Wah, 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 wah. It's not fair. They're complaining. Of course, much of the angst is because their hero, Colin Kaepernick, is still persona non grata out of the NFL. I found the whole episode to be amusing, watching the rage. Because, spoiler alert, this is not an apple-to-apple comparison. Tim Tebow is expected to sign a non-guaranteed contract for the NFL league minimum. He will then no longer be playing quarterback. He'll be switching positions. Colin Kaepernick, by all accounts, is not interested in that. The Kool-Aid drinkers are, you know, raising holy hell, the people that follow Kaepernick. But listen, here's the deal. If Kaepernick wants to switch positions, I don't know what other position he can play and play for the minimum. We'll see what happens. He still wouldn't get a job, but at least it would make it more interesting. Now, the final thought here. Tim Tebow, see, at this point, where does he go? Well, we know he's going to go to the offseason program, and he's going to have to figure out how to play special teams, do I say, if he's a backup tight end. But he has to dust the cobwebs off. All right. Now, there are many that are true believers in Tim Tebow. And there are others, there's this huge chasm. There's many people that, well, Tebow's going to make it. And then there's others, it's a pointless endeavor. I'm on the side of content for sports radio, right? So I don't think, I would disagree to say this is a pointless endeavor. It really depends on what your ambition is if you're Jacksonville. Like, to me, Tebow's off to a running start here. He has his thumb firmly planted on the scale. Like, Urban Meyer is essentially in the man's back pocket here, and this goes back to a kinship in Gainesville at the University of Florida there, the Gators, and their neighbors. Right? Urban Meyer could have lived anywhere. There's a lot of nice neighborhoods in Jacksonville. He chose the neighborhood that Tim Tebow lives in on a swanky golf resort. So they'll be hanging out, having barbecues together, chilling, all that stuff. But the main thing that gives me reason for optimism for Tim Tebow is the general lack of talent at the tight end position in Jacksonville. Even if Tim Tebow is merely just a blocking tight end and a decoy in the passing game and plays special teams, Jacksonville is weak in the knees at the tight end position. And that is an understatement. Now, you're never supposed to spend too much time breaking down the depth chart of Jacksonville, because that is bad radio. But they're in the soup kitchen when it comes to the tight end position. Someone named Chris Manhertz out of Canisius, who's been waived by three teams, is currently listed at number one on the depth chart. Someone named Luke Farrell, who played at Ohio State, was a fifth-round pick. He's listed there. And a guy named Tyler Davis from Georgia Tech, listed as the third string. So it's a faceless, nameless, anonymous group of players. And Urban Meyer's like, hey, I can hit the daily double here. And if you're in the business of football and the business of merchandising and publicity, the entertainment business, Tim Tebow, is a made-for-television spectacle. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. And you can't dismiss this. Bankable, not just the merchandise, publicity, the whole thing. And we mentioned the Daily Double, so you got the merchandise part of it. But he's also going to be able to run interference for Trevor Lawrence, the highfalutin. Number one pick in the draft, the hotshot quarterback out of Clemson. And abracadabra, the key. If you've studied magic, like I have, right? Hocus pocus and voila. The key to magic, any magician worth their salt, misdirection. And Tim Tebow, like a magician, will divert attention away, at least during the offseason and training camp, because the media cannot talk enough, write enough, and speak enough, and show enough of Tim Tebow. Now, the best case scenario for Tim Tebow at this point would be, not only does he make the team as like a backup tight end, but he becomes the gadget guy. He is the trick artist, the trick shot artist for Urban Meyer to throw deception into the offense. And when you go out there, you send Tebow in the huddle, you send Tebow in there with Trevor Lawrence. Who's going to throw the ball? Is it going to be a trick play? Is this like a Taysom Hill situation? Not that I think Taysom Hill's all that good. And if you were the defense, I think you pay Tim Tebow to throw the ball, considering how he threw the ball with the Broncos and the Jets back in the day. But you get the point.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Some hardball drama in Anaheim. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we ramble coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from inside your eardrums, providing marginal sports talk radio all night long here, hanging out at the Fox Sports Radio studios. We will have a mini Maller monologue coming up later. 2-for-1 shot here on Russell Westbrook as he sets a record. He broke Oscar Robertson's record for triple doubles. I will give you my thoughts. If you love Russell Westbrook, you probably won't want to listen to that. But we begin this particular hour with professional baseball, and we revisit a story we discussed last week. Behind these microphones on this show, there's some new information that has come out regarding the demise of Prince Albert. And if you have not heard, it is juicy. And I love a good juicy scandal. So if you missed it, let me give you the truncated version here. So we have learned that Albert Pujols had apparently a major meltdown. And then he was handed his pink slip. Pujols was supposedly yelling at Angels manager Joe Maddon. Wait, who would ever yell at Joe Maddon? Joe Madden's like a hippie guy. Just want to hang out, have a good time, drink some Chardonnay and call it a day. But according to the reporting, Pujols was yelling at Joe Maddon, was blasting Madden's managerial skills, very upset. And all of this because Albert was informed that he would be in the starting lineup for a game. I think it was last Wednesday, and he ultimately was not in the lineup. So he was told the day before he was going to play. He wasn't in the lineup, and that was the trigger point. Didn't sit well with Albert. By the time the day was over, Pujols was yelling at the Angels president, the general manager, saying that he wasn't going to retire, insisting he did not want to spend the rest of the season on the bench, and he blasted Joe Maddon's ability as a field general. Now, Maddon was asked about this, report, and he said that it cited two anonymous sources. He disputed, Maddon did, the characterization that his and Pujols' exchange was confrontational, Madden's quote said, I'm hearing all this stuff being reported, but that's not me. Madden said, reiterating, I've heard this stuff, but it was not what I actually witnessed. Close quote. Well, this is a weasel way of answering. And I like Joe Madden a lot. I was around him before he became Joe Madden, when he was just a coach with the Angels back in the Halcyon days. But we got a he said, he said situation. So there's a couple things in play here. And let's just make it as simple as we possibly can. The question, are you going to buy or sell that Albert Pujols had a meltdown, and that meltdown is what led to the release of Albert Pujols? That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Here's the way I look at this. Do I believe that Pujols had a meltdown? Yes. Do I believe that that was the thing that pushed the Angels to release him? I'm going to sell that. I don't buy that part of the story. Now, my observations here, you got medicine strategically and round numbers. And we will lock all of this together. Now, number one. Albert Pujols was let go because he sucked at a time you cannot suck. If he was hitting 298 instead of 198, the Angels would not have considered doing this. Everything else is subterfuge, right? He wasn't playing well. Pujols had reached the end of the rope. He was expendable. The Angels had gotten into the final year of his contract. They were queasy and nauseous watching him attempt to play professional baseball at this point at age 41. And the Angels could afford to swallow their medicine, right? They're like, listen, they knew this day was coming. It's the timing that makes you scratch your head. Why wait a month and then sink Albert Pujols' battleship when you're a month into the season? Now, from my perspective, here's what I think happened. The Halos simply wanted to make sure that he was completely washed up. There was nothing left. They didn't want to get burned, where they got rid of this guy and he went to the Red Sox or the Yankees or somewhere else and he started smashing home runs and all that. Once they established the fact that he couldn't play anymore officially, even though he hasn't been able to play in 3 years, but I digress. Once they reconfirmed what they already knew, they then hit the eject button, as we said in a previous episode. Now, the second thing here, even though we disagree with the premise that Albert Pujols, the reason he was released was because of the temper tantrum with the Angel brass, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Like, Joe Madden gave a very tepid denial slash spin, the Angels manager, that there is a sacred oath in the locker room that what happens behind closed doors stays behind closed doors until you leak it to a sports writer and it gets blasted all over the internet. Nevertheless, we don't doubt that the Angels, the reason this story ended up, and it was Bob Nightingale who had the reporting, the reason this story got out, whether it was Nightingale or Rosenthal or whoever, this was a strategically placed leak, right? You strategically plant the leak. Anytime a story gets out from an anonymous source, what do we always say? Right? We always say, connect the dots backwards, see who benefits, because that's the party that let the story out. And in this case, it doesn't help Albert Pujols to look like a total douchebag diva. It doesn't help his cause, especially if he wants to continue playing baseball. You know who it does help? The Angels. That's who it helps, right? I mean, this is a very popular figure in baseball. The Angels are getting killed. They've been roasted by some big-time royalty, like David Ortiz, for example, blasted the Angels. Several other players. I saw comments by Adrian Beltre, the ex-third baseman for the Rangers, and others who ripped the Angels. And Albert Pujols is seen as royalty. All right? He's the upper crust. And this is a low-class move. The Angels are being called shameful. It's disgraceful that this is an opportunity by strategically leaking the story to one of their buddies in the media, one of their friends in the media. Then this helps out that you can save face a little bit, right, in the court of public opinion. Many felt the Angels should have given Albert Pujols a gala ceremony so the fans could have a curtain call for Albert one last time. Now, to me, this is delusional thinking. Right? It's absolutely delusional thinking, and I'll tell you why. Albert Pujols was not only a baseball player, he was an abject failure with the Angels. I mean, you can't say it any other way. And the prestige that he has, the clout that Albert Pujols has is St. Louis clout. It's not Anaheim clout. There's no need to highlight the pathetic $250 million contract. You're not supposed to draw attention when you make mistakes. You're supposed to kind of hide those mistakes. Now, the final point. So Albert Pujols wants to continue playing at age 41. He still believes that he's an everyday player, allegedly. And my perspective on this, don't be naive. Right? This is a simple numerical situation. Round numbers. Humans love round numbers. Something is satisfying about round numbers. And Albert Pujols, he knows he's likely never going to play for a good team again. Like, he could get picked up by, like, the Cleveland Indians, who are, like, a fake good team. You know, they're a contender, but not a real contender for the World Series, anything like that. Or he can go to a team like the Marlins or somewhere and attempt to catch on, although they're a National League team. But the round number thing, Albert Pujols is 33 dingers away. 33 dingers away from 700. That is the motivation. That is the driving force for this situation. And so far, the free agent market has greeted Albert Pujols with a sound round of crickets. All right? Much like when I used to look for employment in the early days of my radio career, I was told, don't call us, we'll call you. Tony La Russa seemed to make a lot of sense. La Russa is a card-carrying sycophant of Albert Pujols, and even he does not want to bring Pujols into the White Sox there. There's not a good match. The Cardinals have Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. They don't have a DH, so even the Cardinals are like, hey, we'll bring you back if you want to have your ass kissed for a night, but we're not going to actually sign you to a contract. So you look at, like, the Cleveland Indians. I mentioned them. And there's a possibility because of a need. And it seems like even the usual suspects, the Yankees and the Red Sox, who have been tempted by players like Albert Pujols, try to catch lightning in a bottle. They're not interested. And then you think, well, maybe somebody would be interested in selling some tickets and some merchandise. And you look to people like the Tampa Bay Rays or the Oakland Athletics. But we're still in this weird time. We're not completely out of the COVID thing yet. And even though stadiums are going to be expanding and attendance will be expanding, there's still this reluctance. So that's where we are. That's where we stand right now. So again, just to repeat, if you're late to the party, do I think that Albert Pujols had a temper tantrum and got upset with Joe Maddon? Absolutely. 100%. Do I think that that was the reason that he got let go? No, he got let go because he's hitting 198 and sucks. That's why the Angels got rid of him. If he was good, it wouldn't matter. Like, if Mike Trout said Joe Maddon doesn't know how to skipper a team, then they would fire Joe Maddon and Mike Trout would be in the starting lineup that
night. You're
fired. That's how that works. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. Now, I have been asked to address the big story in the NBA, so I will do that right now. It was a record-setting night. The new king of the triple-double in the NBA on a random midweek night as the regular season winds down. We're less than a week away from the curtain coming down on the regular season, the curtain going up on the postseason, the beginning of the postseason, and Russell Westbrook is the lead story. The lead story all over the place. People all excited about Russell Westbrook, the NBA record for career triple-doubles, a record that has had stood the test of time since 1974. And that has now been broken in a game that was played there on Monday night, the Washington Wizards and the Atlanta Hawks, the all-time triple-double record, which he sets in 13 years in the NBA. Oscar Robertson had held that record, 181, and it stood for 47 years. And then Westbrook went out, had 28 points, 13 rebounds, and 21 assists, and the Washington Wizards lost that game. So let us discuss briefly, a mini Maller monologue on Russell Westbrook becoming the all-time king of the triple-double. All right, so with him passing Oscar Robertson by, the question is, where do you put this record, right? How impressed are you with Russell Westbrook becoming the triple-double king of the NBA? And You're not going to like the answer if you love Russell Westbrook, but I'm not impressed at all. I'm not. And to tip this off, the reason I'm not impressed is this is a phony record. And what do I mean by that? I remember when Russell was setting the regular season, you know, triple-double accomplishment where every game he had a triple-double back in OKC a couple years ago. I remember when the videos started popping up, and they're still on YouTube, when teammates on the Thunder would treat the basketball like it was a hand grenade and run away from it if they had a chance to get a rebound. Like, for example, Steven Adams, the Kiwi. He had an opportunity to go up, get the rebound, but Russell Westbrook was in the same area. Then Steven Adams would defer and allow Westbrook to get the record because Westbrook, the team goal, the stated goal was Russell Westbrook's got to get the triple-double. Once you see those videos, and once you see how many times this has happened when he was in Oklahoma City where Russell Westbrook was given an extra rebound by a very generous teammate who was more concerned about looking out for Russ, it's hard to take this seriously. It's hard to take this seriously. And furthermore, this particular night, a loss to the Atlanta Hawks is the perfect snapshot of what Russell Westbrook's career has been in the NBA. He is a stat bandit, tremendous stat bandit. He's getting the Manny Petty treatment from the basketball media. Slobber, 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 lick, lick, lick for Russell Westbrook. And in this game where he sets the record, a record that's been cheapened by all those bogus triple-doubles he got back in Oklahoma City, on this particular night, what did Atlanta do? Final possession. Washington's got the ball. Clock winding down. Hawks have the lead. What did Atlanta do? Brilliantly. They baited Russell Westbrook to shoot a perimeter shot. And what did Russell Westbrook do? He shot a perimeter shot. Clank! And that's it. The Atlanta Hawks win the game. Washington loses. And that snapshot is pretty much on par with Russell Westbrook and his NBA career. That is standard operating procedure. That has been the kryptonite of Russell Westbrook. He's the guy you want for 3.5 quarters of a game. But the last part of the fourth quarter, you would like to have him on the bench because if your plan is to win the game, he's not the guy you want out there. He is out of control. And he can get baited into shooting those perimeter shots, and he can't help himself. You leave the guy wide open. He's a terrible outside shooter, horrifically bad outside shooter.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Kubaloo.
So there was a report this weekend that the Texans are, quote, slowly moving on from Deshaun Watson. Now, Ben, let's assume that this is true and that Watson and his accusers settle out of court. But what kind of return do you think Houston can get for him at this point?
All right, so this is a premature situation. Deshaun Watson is currently deep in talks to settle, but he's got to get all 22 accusers to settle. We've talked about this in the past. That would be a logical conclusion for Deshaun Watson. But even if he does that, he's not out of the wood chipper by a long shot because of the punishment. And so the way I look at this, Deshaun Watson and all these stories about getting him moved, it's clickbait. There is zero trade value until and only until the NFL puts the kibosh down on Deshaun Watson and issues punishment. Does Watson get suspended 6 games? Does he get 8 games? Is it 12 games? Is it 17 games? Is it indefinite? That part is open-ended, and until there is some clarity on that, no one's going to trade anything of value for Watson, and nor would the Texans take pennies on the dollar if Watson gets traded and only plays, you know, let's say he, best case scenario for him, he only gets suspended 8 games. So the Texans aren't going to give him away if he's only going to miss 8 games. So that's the key part of this. Next!
Matt Ryan restructured his contracts to help the Falcons out this season, but according to one report, Matty Ice believes that he has several good years left and he would like to stay on with this new Falcons regime. Ben, how many good years do you think he has left?
Well, watching the Falcons play the last couple of years, not many. Matt Ryan was, I think he was in the 20s, right around 20th last year in quarterback rating. He's been going the wrong direction. The last time Matt Ryan was considered a top-notch NFL quarterback was back in 2018. And you know, that's a while ago now in the life of an NFL player. And that's the last moment where he said, well, Ryan's putting up legitimate big-time numbers. He's turned into a pretty good fantasy quarterback in the fact that in garbage time, in fact, last year I looked it up, he had 31% of his touchdowns in blowout games where the Falcons were either ahead or behind, usually behind by 3 or more scores. And if Atlanta keeps Julio Jones, it's hard to imagine Matt Ryan will not put up good numbers again because that offense has been weaponized with Kyle Pitts, the tight end, who's supposed to be really good. Calvin Ridley's still there. But that being said, I expect Arthur Smith to look to change quarterbacks after the season. So I think this is the last year for Matt Ryan here in 2021 with Atlanta. Next!
So after the scuffle between Jake Paul and Floyd Mayweather, there was some buzz that Floyd could potentially fight both brothers in the same night. However, Mayweather Promotions CEO Leonard Ellerbe said that while Floyd could beat both brothers in the same night, it doesn't make sense from a business standpoint. Now, Ben, is it just me, or does that make total sense from a business standpoint?
No. No, the business guy for Mayweather is right, because this is the hustle, the first rule of the hustle. Don't get too greedy. Slow and steady wins the hustle, right? Mayweather, Logan Paul, we don't know how much that fight's going to be. We think it's about $70 on the pay-per-view, somewhere in that area. So let's say if you fought two guys, you bump it up to 100. There's a certain point of demarcation you can't cross. You're not going to get enough people to buy the fight. So at $70 a fight, you fight Logan Paul, and then you do it again in 5 months and fight Jake Paul, you get $140 rather than 100 out of each particular person. So that's the way to go.
But I won't buy either of those fights.
I'd
buy it if he fought two
people.
That's
a win. Coop's fighting back. That's a win. That's a win. He said win.
You lose.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Mallers, mountain of money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
All right, here we go. Mallers, mountain of money. Real quick, we've got our two combatants ready to go. Enemy combatants. We've got Matt in Salt Lake City. Hello, Matt.
Hi, man.
What's going on in Salt Lake today?
Not too much. It's pretty quiet.
All right. Tell the guy in Beaver Dam who's got a friend in Punxsutawney who knows somebody in Rancho Cucamonga what you do for a living.
I am actually unemployed.
Okay. So you do nothing for a living, Matt. But you are looking for employment, yes?
I am.
Okay. I got you. All right. And what kind of work are you looking for, Matt?
I was working at hotels, but I want to do something else now.
Okay, change it up a little bit. I got you.
Yeah.
All right, hold on a sec, Matt. We've got Charlie in San Antonio who's going to play the always annoying Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Ben, looking to get a golden ticket so when the Clippers get eliminated the next night, you have to put me on.
Yeah, okay. Charlie works at a hotel, but the people that visit his hotel wish he didn't work at the hotel, so that's there's that. All right, hold on a sec. Let's go back to Matt. Matt, you can play with anyone on the show. You can play with me, Ben, Eddie, Koopaloop, Roberto, any of us?
I'll go with Eddie.
All right, Eddie, you have been picked by Matt and Charlie. Who do you want to partner up with, Charlie?
You know what, Ben? I want you to have a crisis of conscience, so I'm going to choose you. Because as much as you want me to lose, you're going to want me to win.
Oh, come on. What a dick. All right. What a dick in Dayton. All right, hold on. What are the categories? Cool. What do we got?
All right, gentlemen, this is the Bono edition of Maller's Mountain of Money. He turned 61 years old yesterday. All right. The categories are as follows. I Will Follow, With or Without You, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, and Vertigo. Matt, you were on first. Which category would you like?
With or Without You.
All right. And Charlie, how about you?
I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For.
All right.
All right, everyone stay in place here. We will have Maller's Mountain of Money in its entirety. We'll get to that. We'll do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And right to the game we go. It is that time of the week. Maller's Mountain of Money every Tuesday here, the Bono edition. Eddie is up first with Matt in Salt Lake. I, Ben, am team with Charlie. And let's get the party started here, Koopa Loop.
All right, Matt, you are up first, and you picked With or Without You, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, you have 45 seconds. We need the first and last name of the athlete. This category, these athletes have won championships on different teams. 45 seconds, begin.
Super Bowl winning quarterback, Colts and Broncos, brother of Eli.
Hey,
prime time, greatest cover corner of all time.
Deion Sanders.
Scored 100 points in the game, claims he slept with 10,000 women. Greatest leadoff hitter and base stealer in baseball history.
Ricky Henderson.
Yes, linebacker for the Raiders, Redskins, and 49ers out of Penn State. He was a horrible GM for the Lions. No. Horrible GM for the Detroit Lions. He drafted wide receivers every year.
Matt Millen.
Yes, fat pitcher for the Yankees. He threw a no-hitter. He wore Babe Ruth's hat during a game. No. White guy, mustache out of San Diego. Last name, color of money, NBA titles with the Spurs, Raptors, Lakers, plays in the 76ers. Danny Green.
You would have got that right away, too. You skipped over that. Didn't count.
David Wells was who you missed there.
Y'all brought a ringer in.
That was not bad.
Charlie's a little nervous, but the score is 180 points. Charlie and Ben, you were up next. Your category is I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. These all-stars are still playing but have never won a championship. 45 seconds, begin.
All right, the star of the Suns, great with the Clippers and lobs. Yes, Atlanta Falcon receiver. He's on the trading block. Yes, a linebacker for the Bears. He was traded from the Raiders a couple years ago in a big trade.
Pass real quick.
All right, Yankee slugger, not Aaron Judge, the other guy for the Yankees right now. Play with the Marlins.
Carlos Stanton.
Yes, Cincinnati Reds slugging first baseman from Canada.
Joey Gatto.
Yes, running back. He's the all-time 49er leading rusher. He played at age 37 for the Jets last year. Old guy. Come on.
Khalil Mack for the other question.
Yes, Khalil Mack. Okay. What's the answer to this one?
Frank Gore.
Yes, Cowboy offensive lineman, six-time Pro Bowler right now, number 70.
Not bad. 200,
that's all right.
240. You guys have the lead.
We got the lead, Charlie.
Zach Martin was the last one that you ran out of time for.
Damn it. Would you have gotten that, Charlie?
Quit wasting time. Yeah, Let's go.
Matt, I Will Follow or Vertigo?
Vertigo.
All right.
Oh, that's a bad choice.
But here we go. Let's do it.
These sports figures have all suffered from vertigo. 45 seconds. God. Begin.
A current star on the Lakers, the King from Cleveland.
LeBron James.
Quarterback of the Steelers right now, veteran quarterback.
Ben Roethlisberger.
A tight end, Hall of Fame tight end to be for the Chargers. He was a basketball player in college.
Antonio Gates.
Yes, former Laker. His brother also plays in the NBA. They're from Spain. Played with Kobe.
Powell.
Yes, former head coach of North Carolina. Also coached at Kansas basketball.
Roy Williams.
Yes, current golfer from Australia. It won the PGA.
Nathan Day.
Yes. Oh, God. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know who this guy is. The last guy. I'm sorry.
That's a great clue, Ed.
I have no idea who he is. I don't know what sport he plays. I have no clue who he is.
Player for the Cincinnati Reds.
Cincinnati Reds center fielder.
Nick Senzel?
Yeah, he's a top prospect.
That should be a 1,000-point question.
Yeah, you're right.
I play for the Reds.
All right, don't waste any time.
Great job.
Stay focused. Stay focused, Charlie.
420 Woo-hoo! Points.
Charlie!
Don't choke, Charlie, like the
Charlie!
Clippers.
Charlie!
I think we're out of time.
Charlie.
No! Here we go, Charlie. Come on, jump up!
Your categories, I will follow. These athletes followed their teammates to a new team. 45 seconds begin.
All right. The tight end for the Buccaneers came over from the Patriots.
Gronk, Robert Kostin.
Yes. Known as Flash for the Miami Heat.
Dwayne Wade.
Yes. The doctor for the New York Mets in the 1980s. The strikeout king.
Pass.
All right. The glide for the Rockets and the Trailblazers. Yes. Yankees starting pitcher, left-hander. He did PEDs in the 90s.
Mike Pettit.
Yeah. Different first name. All right. Yankee first baseman, nickname, I don't think we can say his nickname. Played with the Braves, Rangers, Yankees. He's on ESPN right now. White guy?
John Crump?
No. wide receiver, white guy. Charlie!
Just like the Clippers.
Charlie!
Joking!
No. How dare you, Charlie! Mark
good job,
Charlie.
Inside
it's
job.
A loss, but it's still a win. I feel good.
Oh, my God. That's embarrassing.
That's a winner.
That's a joke. Charlie sabotaged the game.
Garcia's
sabotaged the game.
Inside
protest,
job.
Protest.